Nabeo episode 22, the Christmas special.
Crimbald special. I've got an impression for you, Ben.
Go for
Can
it.
you get you right, I'm gonna do the impression and then you've got to get
I can
to
see
it.
you, so this is gonna be even funnier.
Okay. Ho 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 ho. Who's that an impression of, Ben?
Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus.
No, it's Santa no. Claus.
Santa.
It sounded feminine.
Oh, fair enough.
You've got a lot of Robinson's Ribena and like cordials by you.
Pink grapefruit and summer fruits. Oh my god, the top's just come off that. I thought it would have gone everywhere. And then I've just got an Aldi peach. But that's empty. It's all content.
Anyway. we've got a very, very special episode for the listeners today. We just recorded with the guest.
The guest, yeah. It was, shall we, yeah, I'll reveal it. The famous action movie hero from the 70s, Steve McQueen.
also known as the director, Steve McQueen. Stephen McQueen.
Stephen McQueen, yeah. No, it wasn't.
It was our friend, long-time friend, first-time listener, first-time guest.
Yeah.
It's Jeff McQueen.
Jeff McQueen. Yes.
It was fun. It was a weird one, and I think he commented quite a few times how weird it was.
Yeah, but that's good. To be fair, we didn't have anything going into it, and we probably should have prepared
a
few bits.
I had about 2 features planned, and neither of them really worked, so... they weren't really proper features, they were just ideas. So that's why we kind of ended up...
That's what you like, you're an ideas man. Give it to the nerds to sort all that out.
Yeah, so we ended up just going from just this to that, just conversations. It was like
a
real treat for British culture.
It was just this and that. 3 people at opposite ends of the country talking.
I mean, I measured it last night. How far, do you want to guess how far it is between where Jeff lives and where I live?
Very.
Lockerbie and Cheltenham, if that helps.
Very far.
300 miles.
That is very far.
Yeah.
But you didn't measure me, which is a bit annoying, because I'm in the middle.
Yeah, you're in the middle, that's why, because I thought you'd be a stop on the way, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say I'm probably...
Well,
like...
I'd go pick you up on the way. I'd go pick you up. I'd be like, all right, Lee, you ready? Let's go to Scotland.
Let's go to... I've never been to Scotland.
What? Shut the front door.
I haven't. Sorry.
I've been several times, and I've enjoyed it every time. Right. I once saw, in the same day in Scotland, One Direction and Coldplay. What kind of fuckery is that?
In Scotland?
Yeah, in Scotland. I was at Radio 1's Big Weekend, that's why.
Oh, right. Oh, that doesn't count then, does it? Well, it does count, but I mean, not in the same respect. Do you know what I mean? You made it sound like you were wandering around, and all of a sudden you were in paradise. Pulled it back.
When they did perform Yellow, it was really original. I don't know if you did... think of this idea, but when they performed it, they turned the lights yellow.
It's good, isn't it? Oh,
yeah, that's investment.
It very much is.
Have I unfrozen?
No, you're fine, don't worry. We're doing this over Skype at the moment because we just recorded with Jeff, so we've gone straight back in. Just to let the listeners know, give some context.
I feel we should go into Jeff's chat. And then when we're, then we can do some more chat afterwards,
yeah,
because I feel that listeners probably would rather hear Jeff.
Yeah, probably. Right, we'll go into that now.
Now. Theme tune.
Thank you. Yeah, to be fair.
Are you late to Sainsbury's as well?
No. I've made sure every time I clock on at the minimum 59 minutes to. Well, two.
59 minutes past, surely. That's ridiculous.
An hour early.
What's that woman that like moans all the time? Does she get annoyed when you clock on at 59 minutes past?
No, she couldn't give two shits, really.
She loves Heather. You.
God. She loves it. She dropped a bottle of Guinness yesterday and had to stand with it.
She keeps dropping booze.
Yeah, she just keeps dropping things because she runs at the aisles and she just throws everything on. And she just keeps knocking things off.
How long has she worked there?
I don't know.
Too long for that to be acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. It's scary.
Anyway. So,
do you need me?
Yeah, we could just do this for a standard episode. This is standard chat. I think we were going to try and do a thing. I don't know if this is going to work, but because we know that you listen to a lot of podcasts, what I was thinking was, can you do an impression of any of them? But I don't know if this is going to work.
Oh boy!
So, like, because which ones
really
do you listen to?
You? Just Marc Maron. That was
yeah.
I gave up on Marc Maron quite a while ago.
So have I, yeah.
I think the quality of guests has dipped quite a lot, and the amount of preamble is just insane nowadays.
I only listen to when it's a guest that I really like.
Yeah, I'm there.
Did you listen to the? I didn't listen to it first time round when Harry Dean Stanton died. He re-released an episode.
I did listen to that one actually, and it was kind of, yeah, he was really self conscious, and Harry Dean Stanton was kind of just Harry Dean Stanton.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, it was that was quite good. That one, I enjoyed that. Yeah,
I think that's the last proper good one I've listened to.
I think the feed's at its best when somebody does die and he's got one in the can and he can just roll that out. That's kind of almost when it's the repeats that make WTF make sense nowadays rather than, you know, just the sound of barrel scraping.
And Lorne Michaels just getting rinsed every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's nice. Got too much when every time there's an SL cast member, he's just like, I once auditioned. It's like, all right, mate.
I haven't listened to WTF ever since the Louis C.K. revelations have come to light, because for when I started listening to WTF, that was sort of always the big thing, that sort of Louis's fame and then the sort of the famous two episodes he did with Louis talking about stuff. So that was always like the kind of, you know, the sort of key episodes early days, and so I haven't heard what he's been saying about Louis C.K. and his fucking weird perversion. It's weird. I mean, it is.
I only saw one comment, which was basically a woman that said he spent 20 minutes talking about Louis C.K. and then broke down and cried, like we're meant to feel sorry for him because his friend was a dick.
Wow.
As soon as the allegations got released, he did about a half an hour talk about it.
Yeah,
which was quite interesting.
And same, so did Bill Burr as well. But
okay,
so it's all a bit odd because they kind of made it about themselves, and it's like, it's not about you, mate.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. Because he talked about an art school teacher kissing him once or something.
All right.
I mean, we both know how that got
from Louis C.K. to that.
We both have got very similar experiences, don't we? The other thing I was thinking of doing was we were trying to compare what our university experiences to like relationship with lecturers were like to like famous TV shows or films. So like one that I did, which Lee really didn't find funny, was Harry Potter and Ron with Dumbledore.
Harry Potter and Ron with Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And that's what your
relationship with you was like. I couldn't think of many better ones, to be honest.
That's okay. I can see why Lee didn't like it, to be fair.
No, he's more Crabbe and Goyle, isn't he?
I was either ginger or had glasses.
I've never really thought about it. You know, I mean, it's sort of the. Are you familiar with Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the bit where Harrison Ford's lecturing at the start of that, where yeah. there's a girl that sort of blinks her eyes.
Eyelashes,
and she's got love
yeah.
you or something. Yeah, she's got that written on her eyelids.
Was that a weekly occurrence
kind of
for you?
That's what I was hoping for when I got into lecturing, and that never ever happened.
I didn't want to get a rash there. That's the issue.
Yeah, exactly. Because yeah, you probably couldn't do it nowadays because people have just got terrible allergies. I'd probably have to EpiPen them in the face.
Sensitive millennials. Oh, my eyes.
Never happened 25 years ago, did it?
Exactly.
It was a different world. It was a different time.
In a pre-PowerPoint world, I would spend my evenings running away from massive boulders.
I mean, your lectures would have been different without PowerPoints.
I am nothing without PowerPoint.
Gives you the power, quite literally. That was
yeah,
awful.
Fucking Jesus. Got a lot of editing to do with these things then, huh?
Oh, we do most weeks. Lee's done some very inappropriate impressions.
Have I?
Have you?
I don't think I have.
You should have heard his Mugabe.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. That was topical humour.
Oh, dear.
There was a week where Mugabe got overthrown and Charles Manson died, and Lee was just in ecstasy.
Beautiful.
No, it was just before Charles Manson died, and I did impressions of both of them and said, we've had two guests on the show that could possibly be dead by the time this episode comes out. I was very excited. And one of them did.
And it wasn't the one we thought.
I did look up the podcast on Apple Podcasts and wondered why it was filed under hate speech.
You should have heard the episode when Nigel was a guest. He loved it.
Nigel?
Farage. We just call him Nige.
We refer to him
Is
by
it
his
Nick...
first name now.
We brought Nick Farren back. He just came out of nowhere. Is that his name? What was it? The guy that used to do BNP? Nick, what's his name? Isn't he bankrupt now? He used all his money on BNP and then it turned out the electorate didn't like him.
Oh, no. What's it?
Nick Griffin.
Griffin, that's it.
Oh. And turns out being far right does not pay.
In the last election, didn't he just, not the one that's just gone, the one before that, like the week before, just say, don't vote for UKIP because we actually admit we're racist. They don't.
God.
Smooth.
Yes, very smooth. What's your opinion been on politics this year, Jeff? Have you been a very happy snowflake?
I love the way the conversation's just twisting in the wind.
These segues
politics,
are what got me
you
awards,
got any feelings
mate.
About that?
This is what got me a Best Station nomination at the SRAs, so don't judge.
His segues are untouchable.
It is, it's beautiful, it's a smooth thing. I'm snowflake, so my feelings are exactly as you would expect. it is just the slow motion car crash, you know, I don't have anything interesting to say about it. I do enjoy tweeting at Donald Trump though. That is quite a fun thing.
What, you okay, hon? Kiss.
Yeah, that, along those kind of lines. Or basically, it's because I'm now living in Scotland again. I'm just reacquainting myself with Scottish swear words. So I'm just rinsing right through them and just calling them everything. Just, I don't know.
Are you going to his golf course and just like destroying it?
No, it's too far away. But I think he's got several. I think he's got one in sort of in the northeast, and I think he's got one near Toon as well.
Out of massive landowners in Scotland, between Donald Trump and the Queen, who do you hate more?
I don't have great animosity towards the Queen, to be honest. I'm not a royalist. I'm a Republican, but I kind of don't mind the royals.
I've been watching The Crown, and I've found a new love for her.
Have you?
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for her.
I think so. I think the funniest thing about the Queen is just the whole, you know, she's just ruined her son's life by refusing to go, and I admire that immensely. You know, just
he's the longest crown prince ever. Yeah. And that must hurt.
Yeah, I mean, he's been cock blocked his entire life, and now he's preparing for death. You know, and it's just like, yeah.
Is that beautiful. The sort of thing you want to do to your kids?
Cock blocked. Absolutely. Them to death. To the McQueen household.
My boy's 14, and he's just got he's got himself his proper first girlfriend now, and it's unbearable.
Have they come round to the house?
She came round to the house once and they did gaming all day.
Is that a euphemism?
Sadly, I don't think it was. I think they just sat and looked at a computer all day. It's so weird because you can't talk to her IRL. He can only talk to her online. So when they're together, it's just they didn't say anything at all practically. So weird. We're all doomed.
That is a bit scary, to be fair.
Yeah, it is. It's really odd. I don't understand it at all.
But he's only been in Scotland a few months, hasn't he? And he's already just become the guy of around town.
He's trying to sort of pick up the lingo, and so he started adding in sort of Scottish words and phraseology. You know, so he'll say, "Oh, didn't he do that?" and all that kind of stuff. But he's got this kind of Southern English accent, so it just sounds really, really shit.
sounds like a Southerner being a racist.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds awful.
It sounds like my Lorraine Kelly impression.
Okay, let's hear your Lorraine Kelly impression.
Today on the show, we've got Professor Green Hockey.
That's not bad, actually. That was a recording of her you played, wasn't it?
Did you know this, by the way? This is probably our biggest achievement since leaving university. But our podcast account is followed by Eamon Holmes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I was looking through our DMs, because Ben does most of the Twitter stuff. And last week he messaged Eamon Holmes asking to get him on the podcast.
He didn't reply.
I was
hoping we'd get to sit in the hub at this morning and take some calls.
You should keep going though. I always think that it's nice to have a podcast mission.
Yeah.
Because when I did the film show, our sort of secret mission was to what's the name of the actor who plays War Machine in the Iron Man films?
Don Cheadle.
Yeah, exactly. So Don Cheadle was who we were aiming to try and get. And so in all our sort of publicity things, and whenever we talked about anything, we would always just be, you know, we'd sort of review films and be as honest as we could about everybody, apart from Don Cheadle, who could do nothing, wrong.
Did you ever get
and
him?
So we were, no, but we actually got quite close at one point. There were sort of we used to have a good relationship with these people called Cameo, who were film publicists, and there was one point when we were sort of there was a film coming out. I can't remember what it was, and he was in it. And we were sort of very, very close to getting a phone interview with Don Cheadle, which would have blown my tiny little mind. Because obviously he's quite a big star. But I think, yeah, Don Cheadle was definitely the mission. I think it's always good to have a podcast mission, just somebody that you relentlessly go after for no sensible reason. just randomly pull someone out the air and go for it.
Well,
sounds
I
like
did get
Eamon Holmes, to be fair.
Yeah, I did get turned down by Tim Key last week, so we're getting closer.
Did you? Hang on, you spoke to Tim Key. I didn't mention this to me.
I spoke to his publicist, and she said when he has a tour potentially. I think that Lee does have a Tim Key vibe, so that's what I want them to be in a room together.
A Tim Key vibe sounds like a terrible sex toy.
For really niche comedy fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Just reads a poem to you as you're trying to get off.
It's got a Sidekick Simon setting.
Oh. Right.
That was good. Do you watch Taskmaster, Jeff?
I've never seen it, and I watched about 10 minutes of it last night, and really enjoyed it actually.
Yeah, no, we're big fans. That's why
I haven't watched the new ones actually, the Christmas ones.
Last week was good. It's a bit weird because they're all previous winners, and it's weird seeing them together now.
Yeah.
Right.
Losers or Losers would have been funnier, I think.
Yeah, definitely, because you would have got like Nish Kumar and who was the other one who was really bad? Paul Chaudhry was really bad. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I just realised I wasn't going anywhere with that.
I like the way that they had just enough pure Asian slant there.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I was just realized.
Wait, it's a hate podcast, so.
Taskmaster of the subcontinent.
Yeah. What TV have you been enjoying this year, Jeff? Because I know you're really into your TV and film, or just culture, really. So what would you recommend?
The only thing I really was totally convinced by and bought into wholeheartedly was the new Twin Peaks series.
Yes, Richard. I wanted you to say that.
and to be honest, when it was announced and when they were making it, I was totally not into it at all. Yeah, I was a massive fan of Twin Peaks back when it was originally out and ever since. And then when this new thing was touted, I was like, oh, this is just going to be hellish. It's just going to be sad and demented and rubbish. And then when it came along, it was everything I kind of... It was just really, really good.
It was amazing. You know?
And it was, yeah, it was. And that... everyone talks about that eighth episode as just being mind-blowing, and it absolutely was. That whole the nuclear explosion, yeah. Got a light episode was just utterly terrifying and bewildering, and it was just amazing. I loved it to pieces. I still just, even you can probably tell by the way I'm actually quite animated now. it was awesome. It was absolutely bloody awesome, and I loved every single minute of it.
Same here. That episode 8, I watched it hungover in bed at about 10 o'clock in the morning. I had to watch it again at night because it just went completely over my head. It destroyed me mentally.
It is. It's just, you're just watching, and so many scenes just that, I love the way that so many things just didn't tie up with anything else at all.
Yeah,
you know, there's just so much content just being thrown out there, and it seemed like that, you know, the last bit of every kind of episode was just a little scene that made no sense with anything else
with
at all.
It was
just fantastic.
The bar every week,
yeah,
they just threw it out.
Exactly, some unexplained junky slutty looking girls talking. Perfect. That's exactly what I want from telly.
Thank you very much. I really liked how, unlike David Lynch things, the second to last episode everything sort of came together, and that never really happens, but then they just threw it all out completely again. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
You're gonna get some resolution. No, you know.
Yeah, it's good, you know, that and there was watching it, there was a kind of feeling that it was not only was it kind of pulling together things from the Twin Peaks universe, but it was kind of it was making, you know, it was pulling in references from Lynch's other work as well, you know, and it was kind of that whole Lynch multiverse was kind of having things added to it and meaning created from it. It was really, yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing to have, because I've always been a fan of long films,
yeah.
You know, so like Wim Wenders films, you know, things that last 2.5, 3.5 hours. That's great. So to give a film director about 16, 17 hours or however long he had with this stuff,
yeah.
Just amazing, you know, and just freedom to just do whatever the hell he wanted. And to be annoying and to be obtuse and to be utterly ridiculous and to be totally childish, and
there was,
you know,
of it
it's
was
just
very, very ridiculous, but in a good way.
Yeah, exactly. Just pure nonsense.
Dougie Jones was amazing.
Dougie Jones was absolutely awesome.
Every week
just,
I was in tears laughing at him.
You know, and it was great because, I mean, Dougie Jones was there what, until almost like two or three episodes from the end. Yeah. And every week you're tuning in going, oh, come on, fucking Cooper must show up this week. And it just wouldn't happen. You're like, oh, my God.
And then he did it in the amazing, most cheesy way possible when he put his thumb up at the end. Beautiful.
No, it was good. So that was good. I went to see, you know, Tammy Preston, the Christa Bell character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went to see her in concert in Edinburgh, and I just stood at the back and drooled for like an hour and a half. Because she can't really sing, and her songs are fairly rubbish, but she looks amazing.
Yeah,
it was the most middle-aged thing I think I've ever done.
I was watching one of those pointless BBC documentaries where they just throw loads of performances from different BBC shows together. And she was
they give it a rubbish title.
It was something called like Voices of BBC or something, and she was in the middle of it on a Jules Holland episode from like when Twin Peaks originally came out.
Wow, what, like, no, it can't, when Twin Peaks originally came out.
Am I thinking of someone else?
You must be thinking. Are you thinking of Julie Cruz or somebody?
Julie Cruz. That's who I was thinking of.
All right. Okay.
Sorry.
There you go. That's all right. Because she would have been about 8 years old at that point. It would have been a bit weird.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, I'm sure Jules would do it, but no.
Great clip there.
I used to go to a festival in Dorset every summer, and called the Larmer Tree, and it was a sort of family friendly. It was a sort of family-friendly festival, and it used to start on the Wednesday and run through to the Sunday night. And the Wednesday night used to always be Jules Holland headlining with his big band.
Yeah.
Every single year. And so it was just like, oh, God, it was the most tedious thing ever. And apparently part of the festival rider deal was that because he'd got a big band, Jules would get two massive cases of decent wine delivered to the backstage area. For him and the band, and every single year he would apparently take both cases and put them in the boot of his car and then just fuck off with them.
One of my old teachers at sixth form used to work at a theatre in Nottingham, and apparently he did the exact same thing with crates of beer.
Hey, nice.
Gone full circle, just how to steal booze, really.
Yeah. Exactly.
Become a famous pianist and then just go for it.
I think there is a thing with famous people in stealing, though, because when you get to a certain level of fame, that you can kind of get things, you know, easily, or people give you stuff for free, and so I think there is a thing with famous folk that they do quite enjoy just nicking shit, just, you know, just the most random shit out of badness and silliness. I've got some stories in my head which I can't actually tell you.
If you had a rider, though, what would you have on it? Because it's one of those things where it's like you don't really need anything. You only need water, really. So what do you actually ask for?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. I think if I was doing some kind of spoken word tour.
I love how that's what you jump to. What would I be famous for? Spoken word, yeah. That's it.
Exactly. I'd be like,
right,
be like Henry Rollins.
Jeff speaks to the masses.
I just had the sinking realisation that this will be a podcast and this will go out.
I'm surprised you agreed to do it, really.
It's
the
same.
Yes. Yeah, me too. I think it's just because you've got me in the sweet spot in between Salford and where I'm going to next, that I just thought, well, yeah,
nothing to lose,
literally got nothing to do.
Yeah,
radio up. Tunnock's caramel wafers would be in my rider. That's definitely a thing.
Okay, that's pretty good.
In fact, maybe just Tunnock's caramel wafers, literally nothing else, nothing to drink, nothing savoury, just
not even
biscuits.
A tap in the room.
Exactly. Make it like a sort of themed endurance of just me in a box. Just see how far I could get into that box every night.
The only good one I've seen is that a DJ, he has his green room lit only by candlelight, because obviously when you're out on stage it's just strobe lights. I thought that is actually quite clever.
That's nice.
I remember when I was about 15 reading an interview, I think it was with Arctic Monkeys, and apparently on one tour they asked for a book of the venue's choosing every night.
Nice. A book. You're not going to get through a whole book in the night though, are you?
They all get 3 chapters each, probably, or something like that.
Just rip out the pages. Oh yay, chapter 1.
Isn't it Katy Perry who asks for something ridiculous every time? Something like a tiger or something stupid like that.
A relationship that will last.
Mariah Carey asked for puppies.
Puppies, that's quite good.
Puppies, yeah. I think that is a thing.
Yeah, I think that's quite good. Is it Simon Cowell that gets black toilet paper?
Why?
What?
Yeah, I know. I read this a few years ago and I thought, why? Because then you can't see if you're clean.
maybe he does the white poo like dog poo used to do.
Yeah, he's like a dog who just kicks a bit of mud behind him. Oh god. Sorry, the tone of this podcast.
Going on to something else, has either of you watched any of the new League of Gentlemen yet?
Afraid I haven't.
I watched them both and it's not great.
Don't you? I love it.
Really?
I genuinely loved it.
It had its moments. There was a couple, you know, I mean, it's nice to see the characters back, but yeah. Nah, it's not really happening, is it?
I genuinely loved it all. I thought it was up there for like best telly for me this year.
Oh well, you're young, you'll learn.
Savage. Speaking of telly, did you, Jeff, I saw that you were watching I'm a Celeb because your friend was in it. How was it watching it?
Well, he's not my friend. I've swapped emails with him,
I've met him twice. It's
nice. Sorry. Well done, you. You're winning.
Fight!
It was really interesting watching it because you know, part of the conundrum that is Ian Lee is that he's quite to me he seems to come across as being quite honest, and he'll talk about his failings and flaws and mental health and all that kind of stuff, and so it was interesting him being in there, and you know, I mean, I think the public found it interesting as well, you know. It was quite hard to watch, wasn't it? You know, when they're all being really, really shitty to him and a bit two-faced, and I know that the, you know, when you've got like people, you know, when you've got however many cameras on however many celebs for 24 hours a day, you must generate lots and lots of footage, and you can create whatever you want in the edit, essentially, as long as somebody said it. So it was awkward. It was funny because I really, from it being a program that I couldn't give a shit about, I would sort of watch it and really, really root for him not to fuck up.
Yeah,
you know,
same.
Just kind of you know. So it was, and I suppose in some ways the program makers must have loved that, you know, from people to actually keep tuning in and just sort of actually feel, you know, whenever you're watching something or listening to something, you hope that the audience feels something, and actually, although I hate being manipulated by telly, I actually did feel something when I was watching the celebrity, because I was just like, you know, so when he did that after he fucked up in the underwater trial, and when he did the sort of in the air trial the next night, I was really, really, really delighted for him, you know, which is quite sad. Need to get.
I thought the funniest thing about the strawberries is that he said that he switched from it being like feeling really bad about having eaten the strawberries and felt he had to confess, and then as he was going on his way to confess, he did say, "This is my Andy Kaufman moment."
Okay.
And I just thought, yeah, no, I could tell there was something that switched where you did feel bad to suddenly, yeah, no, this is going to make excellent TV.
I think he's quite a smart bloke, you know. So he's, he was definitely playing, and you could see that, you kind of, when he was in the sort of diary room place, that he was giving them stuff that he knew they'd be able to use, you know, so he was...
Yeah, I could tell.
So,
yeah.
You know, even when it wasn't about him, you know, you'd see more of him in the diary room because he was giving them what they wanted as TV makers, you know. And I'm sure he was giving them, you know, sort of, he was saying something cheeky, he was saying something honest, and he was saying something controversial. He was just giving them all kinds of content and letting them do what they wanted. I think he played it fairly well.
Did you have you listened to his radio show this week yet?
I haven't. I've not fallen out of love with I find the radio show a really uncomfortable listen. An awful lot of the time.
Well, this week I only listened to most of Monday's episode, and he just got loads and loads of new callers. But he was saying that. The one where he had to eat all the horrible things, the like pig's vagina and stuff, he said they all didn't taste that bad at all. He was just playing to the cameras 100% the whole time.
See, it's nice to see, but yeah, exactly. It's and you know, it's great that he's getting new callers, and it's nice to sort of see behind the curtain, you know.
Yeah,
I'm back.
Oh, there we go.
Hello, there we go.
I think. I think what Ben was saying there was so dull, Skype just cut it just to give me a break.
That happens to me quite a lot as well.
Yes.
Sorry, I
missed
that. I can
just hear Lee tuning out as I do some crap impression. We did a whole 20 minutes of me doing impressions of three people in the last episode.
Two of them weren't too bad. One of them went on far too long.
Yeah, and I cut it down so much. Yeah, that's the peak of it. If yeah, Jeff, because you're not on radio anymore as like a presenter, are there any times where you have features and you think that'd be a fucking good feature, but I can't, I have nowhere to put it?
Now and again, one of the weird things about sort of teaching and not making content week in, week out, is that exactly that does kind of happen. You know, when I was working in radio, especially for the BBC, I was a terrible, terrible producer, you know, because I was so busy just panicking and trying not to crash things that I didn't have any energy to come up with the new things that the programmes needed. And so... it was understandable why I had such a short career at that, because I was really, really terrible at it. I mean, I was good at some stuff. I was good at persuading people to come on and to you know, to get good bands and good guests and all that sort of stuff. I was good at that, but in terms of coming up with features and stuff, I was terrible. But now I think from teaching radio for years and years and years, I'm sort of I'm quite good at generating ideas and stuff, you know. So and it happens quite a lot that you'll come up with an idea for something current or whatever. So I think I'm going to start a podcast.
Oh,
I mean, you could just send the ideas right to here. Us.
That's it. You heard it here first.
Exclusive.
But it's not going to have any listeners, and it's not going to make any coherent sense. It's just going to be just a sort of a feed where I can just throw out anything from little documentary bits and field recording bits and interviews and just all kinds of shite, I think.
That's like us without all those features.
For the first five episodes, our feature was I'd go online and I would find out whose celebrity birthday it was today, and then Lee would guess who it was.
That's a killer feature.
When he went on for about 10 minutes going, well, what films were they actually in? Like, no, I haven't seen that.
And I'd have to be like, I can only say yes or no, Lee. And I'd be like, maybe ask what country they're from.
Nice.
And they'll always be from America or England.
Well, I'd have to pick someone that Lee actually knew, and then occasionally I'd pick someone I thought he'd definitely know, and he didn't have a clue who they were.
Good skills. Do people actually listen to your podcast then?
Not many.
We have had like up to 50, but usually,
all right.
Usually it's in the teens.
Oh well, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Considering we're just two knobs chatting about our lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a handful of friends that listen quite often, so that's helped. Yeah.
I mean, it's still less of an audience that you get than if you just shouted out your window. But but I suppose...
you don't know where I live, so...
But no, fair play. Oh, I was saying something so dull that Skype answered me.
We're excited. What were you going to say? There's just a bit of me going, fucking hell, what's he going to say?
I'm not going to tell you now. I'm not going to take a chance.
Well, if you had your recorder still on, I'll get a little clip of it.
Okay.
Technology, cool. Are you gonna miss Salford and Manchester?
I'm gonna miss. I might miss Media City a bit.
That's kind of what I said when I left.
It's a bit of an ego kick, isn't it? Walking into there every day.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite nice knowing that stuff happens. You know, and it was like a couple of weeks ago, I had a good industry guest in, and Jimmy, one of the other lecturers, had a good industry guest in, and William and Kate were there doing stuff at Media City.
I thought that was going to be the guest then. No.
Wills came in, spoke about life as a Windsor.
Yeah, exactly. Quilf.
It's hard handing over a note and seeing your nan's face on it, but...
Sending a letter and having to lick the back of your grandma's head.
But Harry Stagg is going to be next level.
Jesus. Well, I need to go soon, boys. But
okay. Should we wrap it up?
No, I'll miss Media City because stuff actually happened there, and I think from teaching radio there is quite easy because you can bring folk in to do bits and pieces, and so I'm sure it'll be less easy at where I'm going to next. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it's time to move on, buddy.
I can't lie.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
I mean, you can have a go at a southern accent if you want.
No, you're all right.
Thanks. And whatever accent Lee has.
Yeah, if I try and do an English accent, then I end up doing sort of like, like a 1970s, club comedian doing a gay voice. That's where that goes. So it's probably not wise.
It's like my impression of pretty much everyone between about 50 to 70 that's on TV or radio is just the typical like Tony Blackburn, like old school radio jock.
Alan
nice.
Partridge.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, hey, we got a great show today. Kind of like Chris Tarrant on Speed.
Nice.
Jeff, thank you for coming on. You've been
thank you very much.
The best guest.
Oh, thank
you. We've only had one other on this.
No, thank you for having me. This has been genuinely odd, but it's been nice to catch.
In a good way.
I was expecting a compliment, but no. It's just like being back at uni. That's a third.
No, thank you. It's been nice to be wanted.
Aww. You're welcome back anytime. I doubt that you'll take us up on that, but you are welcome back.
If you want advertising for your new podcast, I mean.
Yeah, thanks.
To our out of the window listeners.
Nice one, boys. Right, well, I will go and do something else, but thank you very much for that.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you very much as well.
Bye. What a great interview that was.
Oh, so good.
Classic. Thank you, Jeff, for coming on.
It's a shame that the recording stopped halfway through and we missed the plans for his new sweatshop he's opening. But
I mean, he took when he mentioned that this was a hate speech podcast, he took it to the next level.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were offensive, but
Well, it's just the minority you picked to really go into is just really unexpected. You don't really hear that much.
I mean, Polynesians aren't often spoken about, but for Jeff, he just really hates the Pacific Ocean because it's so big and so spread out, and he's just like, why are they always on boats? He saw Moana and was just like, ugh.
Am I right? He's passionate about I can't think, what's a word beginning? No, it doesn't matter. He's passionate about him. You just got an insight to my mind.
Another insight into your mind is your book. You've been writing the notes for every episode since time began. Since
not every episode. I've got some in other places, but I think...
Do you want to read out some random bullet points and I'll try and guess which episode?
Okay. Well, that's not right for us. One second. Oh. So it starts from number 9. So, okay, I'll go in. Right. Okay. Do the French really have garlic? Do the French really carry garlic around their neck?
So I think that came from a travel questions. So I'm going to say episode 13.
No.
So higher or lower?
Higher.
Why do you say that in such a weird way? Higher.
Higher.
15?
No. Higher.
17?
No. Lower.
16. That voice is creeping me out. Stop it.
Yes, we've got a winner. Right, okay, I'll do another one. You ready? This is good content in itself. We're genuinely recycling content to make more content. It's fantastic.
We've got meta. We're recycling.
Yeah, exactly. I want Sean Locke to spit on me during sex.
Right, so that's a confession. Dirty brick on confession. So I'm going to say... Episode 14.
No, lower.
Lower, sure. 9.
No, higher.
12.
We have a winner! Bow, bow, bow!
Right, I think before the listeners punch us, we should probably stop doing that.
That was a nice reflection on 2017. There you go. I've got nothing planned for New Year at the moment. All my friends, everyone wants to do something, but no one has any ideas of what to do because we've done town a lot.
I'm in the same predicament.
You have to pay to go to different clubs.
Maybe we should spend New Year together. Maybe we should just hold hands.
Hold hands and watch the fireworks.
And just have a little New Year 2018. What a great way to start 2018 that would be. A nebule kiss. And as we said, we lean in, we hold each other on the shoulders, and we go, Nebil. And then we grab each other's hands. Oh, lads.
That was a bit too erotic for my liking.
It was a bit called Confessions. Because we're comedy and we're British. Mate, I feel this might be a good time to tell you. I'm on the next season of Taskmaster. I've been doing my tasks yesterday.
Really?
Alex was in the room. He was trying not to laugh. I feel because Lee's holding a mic right now, and usually I just put a recorder to the side of me. I'll put it into camera shot so Lee can see.
Yeah, I have a microphone. Yeah, this is my Zoom.
He's got a mic, so it literally looks like he's about to drop a freestyle rap or do karaoke.
No in between, one or the other.
What's your karaoke's go-to karaoke?
Ooh. I don't like karaoke as a rule.
Really? I love it.
It's a good rule to live by. Karaoke.
If the room's warmed up, it can be one of the funnest experiences ever.
If the room's warmed up.
I mean, I don't go into a dry room, do you?
It's hosted by Lenny Henry. It's a real treat.
I go into the room and I'm like, pull him up, pull him up, pull him up, pull him up. Can I see the right side hands in the air? Can I see the left side hands in the air? Blup, 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 pull him up.
And now, here's Fat Tony with his rendition of a Rod Stewart classic.
And then he comes on, I am sailing.
And then you're still the hype man. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Pick it up for
Yo, give him up for Fat Tony. He fucking nailed that one. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Boom. It was like Rod Stewart was actually in the room.
And then I've got a little horn in my hand.
Little Alex on. Everything links up in this show.
We love Taskmaster is what we're trying to say. Get us on. Right, this has been Nebiel episode 22. What have we learnt, Lee? Let's bring that back.
I enjoyed that. What have we learnt? We've learned that Jeff McQueen's releasing a new podcast.
That was big. I'm surprised he let us have that exclusive.
Same, same. What have you learned, man?
I've learned that internet in Scotland's not very good. and it's not particularly
in Scotland. Why didn't we mention that?
It's not particularly great in Cheltenham or Mansfield either, but we're better.
Yeah, exactly. We're not Silicon Valley yet.
No? Well, I don't know. You should see some of the people in the Vale. What they're creating. And I learned that 2017 is coming to an end. I didn't know that until you guys mentioned it.
Yeah, no, it is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Just like this podcast right now. Goodbye.
Goodbye.